Good day to you, and welcome to the podcast for the Union Street Meeting House. In this podcast, we will be sharing messages from our weekly worship services. Union Street Meeting House is a Christian ministry that introduces people of all ages to Jesus Christ and recalls those who once knew him back into an intimate, vibrant, living relationship with him. We are a house for Christian fellowship and personal growth. You are always welcome here at Union Street Meeting House. Let's go into this week's message right now.
Amen. Amen. Well, bless you this morning. It's so good to see you this morning. Oh, my goodness. I love to worship my Lord. Amen. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Well, open your Bibles this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning, we're going to read the text from verses 1 through 21 and the whole first chapter here. I'm going to give you a little bit of context here where we're headed and what we're doing. But Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen, just listen to me for a second. We're not reading for reading's sake. We're reading to hear what God is speaking to us. Amen. Amen? So when this word is read or you read the word, it's alive to you. It means something to you, and it may mean something different to you than it does me. It's okay. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we're not reading for reading's sake. We're here to read God's word so he can speak to us. Somebody say amen. Amen. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. Verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Verse 12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by a way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Verse 18, and we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you will do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy or scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been made an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We bless you for your word this morning, God. Lord, we didn't come here to hear a pretty sermon, as we say, Lord God. We came to hear from you, Father, to commune with you, to be with you, to hear you speak to our hearts that we may increase in our faith, as the scripture says, Lord God. We bless you this morning and praise you, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see this word, to put it in our hearts that we may do your will forever and ever. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, over the past several weeks, we've been talking about being the salt and the light. Being the salt and the light. And there are many reasons we come to church on Sunday mornings. In fact, I think there's so many reasons, I couldn't even begin to list all the various reasons why you are here this morning. And if the truth be told, there's a lot of people come to church and don't even know why they're here this morning. And that's okay. But the obvious reason, I hope, is to meet with our Lord and certainly commune with him and hear from him. To set aside this time each week to separate ourselves for the purpose of worshiping him corporately together, praising him, and with all hope that we're going to hear from him. I believe that God has ordained me to be here on Sunday mornings to exhort and to encourage you, to remind you of who he is and who you are in him, to stir you up to be closer to Jesus and to follow him more earnestly and fervently in your lives. And I've shared before that to me that Sundays are sometimes like a coach's meeting. Now, Cheryl had no idea what I was going to preach this morning, but she knew I was losing my voice. And she said, Tim, just don't go into your coaching mode today. You should be okay. And I chuckled and she said, why? And I said, well, the message is going to be a little bit about coaching this morning. And so I see this place sometimes as we gather. It's somewhat like a coach's meeting. And we all get together and we review the tape and we see how we're doing. And then we look at what God is calling us to do better or maybe more of, or how he might increase our faith so that we may walk stronger in the faith. And we evaluate so we can get direction in our lives and that we can learn new ways and sometimes maybe even techniques. Now, listen, don't hear me say I'm trying to get a technique into your life so that you can do better with Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But there are certain things that you need to do and don't do that's going to help you in your walk. And the Bible is clear about what those things are. And so we need to get together and we need to encourage one another and spur one another on. And I need to coach you and you need to coach me. It's okay. And so we look at new things we might be able to do that to make a difference and a change. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. Sometimes we got to change it up. Or perhaps maybe even this morning, we need to even return ourselves to a way that we once did things that we know honored God and that were the right way. And we sometimes have to find ourselves that we've drifted off the path or we've drifted away and maybe not even purposely, but we wake up one day and we kind of look and we say, wait, where am I? And we can be a lost ball in tall grass, as they say, if we're not careful. We're going through the motions. And so sometimes we've got to say, no, where is it that I need to get back to? What is it that I need to do that I once did well? And no, because the fruit was there. When I was there, the fruit was there. And what was that thing? And so God speaks to us so we can learn these things and get better at them. And this morning, I definitely want, like Peter, to stir you up and even stir you up to your remembrance. Many of you have long ago given your life to Christ and it was glory, hallelujah, and it was hallelujah square. And then like we say, we get down the road and we see a brother who's been serving the Lord for 20 years and we say, how you making out, brother? And we're excited and he says, well, I'm studying the word. And his heart is not in it anymore. And I want to stir you up this morning. We look at this first chapter of 2 Peter. We see Peter wants to stir up Christians. Or even in his case, he wants to feed Jesus' sheep. Peter knows, and he even talks about it in here. His journey is about done here on earth. He even quotes, and we'll get to that in a moment, that Christ reminds him that he's going to suffer and die. And he knows it's coming. And it's like Paul when he says he's been poured out. And Peter is now being poured out. And so he writes this epistle as an encouragement of our virtue and our growth in Christianity. And by encouraging them, he teaches them how to deal with persecution from outside the church. And if you've been around here on Saturday nights, there's my plug for the Orchard again. I try to do it every week. Not even intentionally, but it's because I love it. If you've been around here on Saturday nights and you've heard Pastor Bill and you've heard Pastor Carl, tough times are probably coming for Christians. They're already here at some level. Certainly, we think it's tough, but it's nothing like real toughness, like what the apostles went through. But that's not far-fetched in our world. And there are some countries where it's not far-fetched at all. He wants to encourage Christian growth in faith. Peter wants to coach us and remind us of our Christian virtue. And after he introduces himself and blesses the readers, the very first thing he does is to remind us that God has granted us what we need. Let's look at it. Look at verses 3 through 8. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, say increasing. And don't say this out loud, but I want you to say this to yourself. God, I want to increase in my faith and my walk. Amen. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. I'm convinced there's not a person in here that wants to be useless. I'm convinced there's not a person in here that wants to be unfruitful. We want to be useful to God. Say amen. Amen. We want to be fruitful for God. Amen. And it says that God has granted us everything we need. There is no excuse. The reality of it is God is not going to ask us to do something that he has not given us the ability, capability, or his help to accomplish. It's just the reality of it. We're not walking in the reality of it. We're walking in our flesh and we wonder why we fail. But God has supplied and granted you everything that you need. And we talk about gifts in here and that we all have a gift and our ministry and whatever your ministry, wherever you're at. Pastor Carl talks about your sphere. Pastor Bill talks about where your place is. That God doesn't just give you a purpose. He gives you a place for that. And where are you? And are you walking in it? And you have to trust that he's giving you everything that you need. It's not up for debate. Amen? Amen. God has already given you all you need to be like Jesus. In verses 9 through 15, he talks about God's calling and choosing, and he is reminding us of who we are. Let's look at verses 9 through 15. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, and having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. I want to stop there for a moment. We need to talk about that. There are many doctrines and theologies about callings and choosing. And you'll see in a moment why I don't get hung up on doctrine. Because I believe the Lord spoke to me some time ago and said, I can handle my bride, Tim. You don't need to do all that. Amen? But let me put it like Pastor Carl says. The scripture said he chose you from the foundation of the earth. Amen. And then we know he calls us. And when he calls us, we have a choice to answer, yes or no, Lord. And when he calls us into the kingdom, we have the choice. But then even after we're in the kingdom, I believe that God then calls us to other things. And we still have a choice. And many of us, through a false humility or even condemnation from the enemy, shrink back from that calling. We've got to step out into the calling. The Holy Spirit will provide. We have to trust that. It says he has given us, he has granted us everything that we need. Amen? Amen. I want to just say that our belief here, and we're getting ready to witness some first fruits of it, is there's a person that comes on Saturday nights that has been called to a ministry, and she, and others, by the way, have already asked about the building, and we've done things here and prayer night and whatnot, and women's Bible studies coming and all that, but she is stepping out into her ministry and has asked, can she use the basement for a meeting place? And I said, bless God. That's what we want. And you know what? She don't need me. She don't need Pastor Bill. She don't need Pastor Carl. She's stepping into her gift, into her walk. Are you stepping into your gift, into your walk, into your calling? Amen. Well, before Peter begins to go into detail about false prophets and teachers, which I believe will be a word for us in the days to come, he makes sure that we know that he was there. Look what he says in verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such as an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, quote, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And it says we have the prophetic word made more sure. Peter is reminding us, Peter is telling you this morning that he was there on the mountain at the transfiguration, and he heard God himself, the majestic glory, say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And he goes on to say, listen to him. And Peter finishes this first chapter reminding us that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation and not an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Remember in John 14:26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all that I said to you. That word is for us this morning. It was not for just in the disciples' time. That was not just for the early church. That is our word this morning, that God will bring to our remembrance what he has told us. He will teach us all things. He will show us the way. So look at me this morning. I want to ask you something. Do you understand that the author of not only this book, but the entire universe has placed himself inside of you, and you have a built-in interpreter of all that he does and says? I'm going off script here a little bit, and I'm reminded of the movie Matrix. I'm not recommending it, by the way, but it's okay if you've watched it. And in that, they will somehow go to their computer, and they will load a program, and now he can drive a helicopter, or he can fight this way or that way or this way. And it's a built-in thing that's going on inside of him. We have a built-in spirit in us called the Holy Spirit who can guide and teach us and help us remember all that God has shown and taught us. I don't know what more we could ask for. I'm not sure what we would want. The problem is you won't turn that switch on. Just saying. The problem is I won't turn that switch on. We have to tap into what God has for us in the Holy Spirit and understand who he is in us. Let me just put it this way too, that he's the author of this book. We just read the scripture that said that no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. He is the author of this book. We have the author in us. Some people say, well, I don't understand this. Well, sometimes there's a revealing. Sometimes you're not meant to understand it at that time. But don't ask me why. I have no idea. Sometimes you're just not tuned in. I don't know how else to say that. Sometimes you're just walking in the flesh and you want answers in the spirit. That's what we do. It's our human nature. But we have a new nature. Let me give you an example. Pastor Bill, he loves it when I pick on him. He wrote a book. Pastor Bill wrote a book, Big Pen to the Pulpit. Many of you have read it. If you haven't, you can read it. You can go online and listen to it. I'm neighbors with Pastor Bill. We've been friends for some time. He's my spiritual daddy. I'm tapped into him pretty much as I can be, as good as I can. But do you understand something? Pastor Bill's not in me. Only he can interpret his book as he wrote it. You understand? Now follow what I'm saying. This is going someplace. Only he can say, if you said, Tim, what did Pastor Bill mean by this? Oh, I could render an opinion. Or I may even have some intimate knowledge to know maybe what he was saying. But are you kidding me? I can't tell you what that man's thinking or saying. Only he can tell you that. So you'd go to Pastor Bill and you'd say, Pastor Bill, what'd you mean by this chapter? And he'd say, well, here's what I meant. I'm glad you asked. Maybe I didn't write it well. Maybe you just didn't read it well. But here's what I'm saying. But not so with this Bible. Not so. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the interpreter living inside of us. Everything that's in here, we have the ability to learn and understand and know. We're not neighbors to the Holy Spirit. He's not our spiritual daddy, which are all wonderful things. The Holy Spirit reveals to us what he's interpreting, what he's saying. Somebody say amen. With the Bible, we walk around with the author of it inside of us. That's pretty powerful. Now, let's turn to Matthew 17. I want to show you something that I hope will make a big difference and an impact in your life. Turn to Matthew 17. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 17, I want to show you something here in this event. This is the event which Peter was referring to back in his letter when he said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, 17, 1 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. But while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up, do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone. Now, before we jump more into this transfiguration and discussing it, let's look at the event that preceded it. Always remember that Scripture is to be read in the context of its entirety or with all parts included. So when you read the Scripture, it needs to make sense within itself. That's where people get in trouble when they take something, they take a piece of Scripture and they put it up here. Like you'll hear the world say, judge, but judge not lest you be judged. And they have no idea in the context they're saying that. Remember this. K. Author used to say, context is king. Context is king. Turn back a chapter to chapter 16 and let's start at verse 13. Turn back a chapter to 16. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. We're just going to read a few verses here. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. There's been some eloquent teaching on that. And Pastor Bill does a wonderful job of talking about where they are and the amount of olives and why they are there and looking at all the other things that are going on and perhaps even the other gods. And Jesus asked this question and Peter confesses it to him that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus tells him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. Now going back to Matthew 17, let's take a look at verse 5. While he was still speaking, here's Peter. Man, what a roller coaster ride Peter is. I can relate to this guy so much. It's mountaintops and valleys. It's putting your foot in your mouth and then being with Hallelujah Square. I don't know why it happens, but that's this guy. And he is sitting there putting his foot in his mouth. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. Now this morning, I don't want you to go and make a doctrine or any kind of theology out of what I'm saying to you. But I want you to understand something that I believe. And that is that our confession and our posture before the Lord have substantial influence on how we hear from God. Let me say it again. Our confession and our posture before the Lord have a substantial influence on how we hear from God. And before I elaborate, I want us to look at a few other scriptures. Turn with me to Exodus 3. Let's go look at Exodus 3. You know the story? We're just going to refresh and bring to your remembrance. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, "I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, listen, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, there's a posture. Are you hearing me? He turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said also, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Turn to Isaiah 6 this morning. A few more here. Just stay with me. Isaiah 6, one of all of our favorites, certainly one of mine. Isaiah 6, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. Give you a moment to get there. Speak to us, Lord, this morning. Speak to our hearts, God. "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two, he flew." Do you see some posturing going on with the seraphim? "And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.'" Can I share with you this morning that I didn't pick that song because of this scripture, that the Lord put that song in my heart before he put this scripture in my heart? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, with which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. And we don't know whether he was on his knees or on his face or standing. I don't know. But I know he bent his heart to the Lord, because he said, woe is me, I've come undone. I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. And he humbled himself before the Lord of hosts. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, and I said, woe is me, my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. One more I wanted you to turn to this morning. Turn to Revelation 1 and 9, please. Revelation 1 and 9. I want to read 9 through 18 this morning. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker. Now, we just read earlier in Peter's message that he's a partaker. We know in Ephesians, Paul says he's a partaker. We know that Paul tells us that we are partakers. We know Peter tells us we are partakers. John is a partaker. Look, he's a partaker. He's a partaker in the tribulation and the kingdom. And perseverance, which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. John has postured himself. He is in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day, and he is in the Spirit. And it was saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and Sardis and to the Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. Listen, get this visual as we read it. Don't just read this. He is talking about his vision. Like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool. Does it sound like a transfiguration? Like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And he goes on to tell him what to write. And so John falls at his feet like a dead man in the presence of the Lord. He falls to his feet. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. And he turned to see that the voice was speaking to him. The one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe. His hair was white. His eyes were like a flame of fire. I love that his feet were like burnished bronze. Listen, when it had been made to glow in the fire. Do you see the brightness of Jesus here? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Now turn back to Matthew 17. We're going to wrap it up here, verses 5 and 6. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. In verse 6, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. I said a few minutes ago, how we hear and when we hear from God is substantially influenced by our confession and our posture before the Lord. In all the examples we read today, there is a confession of who God is to the one that's coming before God, or that the one that God comes to. And then after that confession, there is a posturing that happens. The confession is the terrifying, awesome, breathtaking realization that we are in the presence of a holy God. That they are in the presence of a holy God. The same place that we are capable of being. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," in his confession. The confession audibilizes the thought and understanding that one recognizes and verbalizes the understanding that there is a God, there is a Lord, there is a King, and that there is a Savior. And then there is the posture, a positioning of oneself that physically validates that one has indeed or is indeed in the presence of the Most High God. Can I share with you that today's American church has difficulty with their posture before the Lord? Can I share with you that we're kind of afraid to have others think different of us if we were to fall on our face, if we were to be on our knees? I think it's pride, I'm not sure. I would say it falls in that category. There's a posturing and an understanding. Now, wisdom should tell us that we should probably assume that position before we go into the presence of the Lord. But one way or the other, if you get in the presence of the Lord, you will assume that position. There's nobody going to get to heaven and run around and jump for joy. I'm telling you, the moment you walk in, you're going to fall on your face. It's just that simple. You'll fall at his feet like a dead man. You'll hide your face from him. You will tremble at his voice. There's not enough trembling in the church, folks. This message isn't heavy to bring you down. This message isn't heavy to make you be afraid of God. What did he say? Hey, get up. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. He walks through walls. Hey, peace, shalom. Don't be afraid. It's me. We know who Jesus is. But you will fall face down to the ground. I've shared portions of my testimony before, but for those of you who haven't heard, at age 12... in Georgetown, Delaware, at the Wesleyan Church, I felt the Spirit of the Lord move. I went to the altar and I gave my life to Christ. And when I fell at the altar at 12 years old, I was weeping like a baby without an understanding why. But I know God was doing a work in my life. And I received Christ that day, only to be an idiot and be a prodigal and run away like most folk. And my late 20s, after the life of a prodigal, I was brought very abruptly before my heavenly Father and was dropped to my knees, weeping like a baby again and terrified. But I was also wrapped in a love that I couldn't explain. I was also comforted in a way that I can never share and tell you about. I can't explain it. How can you be terrified and comforted at the same time? I just don't understand it. But it's the work of the Lord. And he didn't use these words, but here's what happened. He said, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And then he put me to work. In my stubbornness, it's taken many years to step into that work. But he's been preparing me. He's preparing you for a ministry. Some of you have been prepared for ministry a long, long time ago, but you're not walking in your calling. Some of you are still sorting that out. That's okay. God will speak to you, but you have to be in a posture. You have to be in a place where you want to hear from him. You have to be able to bend your heart and bend your knees to God. And you have to confess who he is and who you are in him. Bow your heads with me this morning. We're going to close. My question to you this morning is somewhat simple. Do you want to hear from God more? Do you want to hear from God today? Confess to him this morning that he is your God and tell him that you are not. Confess your humble state. Humble yourselves before him. Surrender yourself to him Tell him you know he is the Lord of your life and that you love him. Remind yourself of that because you tend to forget. Bend your heart to him this morning. Posture yourself to receive from him. The altar is always open here, but it doesn't have to be here at this altar. But I love the fact that this altar has probably had many men and women come crawling on their knees before a holy God. God wants to do amazing things in your life, but he won't because you want to be in charge. He wants to be in charge of your life. He wants you to surrender to him this morning. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, Lord. Lord, I don't want this word to be heavy. God, help me coach in a way that will encourage people. But Lord, truth is truth. And if we don't get ourselves humbled before you, Lord God, you can't use us. So Lord, as you speak to your people this morning, I pray there's someone or many here that have realized that they've just not put themselves in a place to hear from you recently. And that lately they're not hearing anything because, Lord God, they're just not getting close. I pray, Lord God, this morning that you move on their hearts, that they would come close to you and they would confess and that they would ask you to help them. Father, we're so grateful that the author of all this word lives in us and that we don't need to seek even outside sources. Sure, it's great to know that there are those who can help, but Lord God, you have the answer for us. We bless you for it and we praise you, Lord. Speak to our hearts that we may increase in faith, that we will not find ourselves useless but useful, and that we would find ourselves not unfruitful but fruitful. Lord, speak to us today that we may leave this place different. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that Peter is coaching us today with this very word. And, Lord, help us to fall on our face. Help us to see who you really are. We bless you this morning and we give you all glory. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Well, bless you this morning. And as a coach, let me say, tighten up those laces and let's get out on the field and do something. Amen. 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 Well, bless you. Have a great week. And we'll hope to see you next Saturday night for Orchard and Sunday for church. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. You know, we would love to invite you to come and visit us in person sometime if you're ever in our area. You can find us at 415 Union Street in Milton, Delaware, where we have prayer and worship services on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., Bible study on Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., and a Sunday morning worship service at 10:30 a.m. We would love to minister to your children as well. We offer children's church during the adult service. Children are excused to go back to their classes right after the worship time. You can also find more information about us on the web at unionstreetmeetinghouse.org or on Facebook at Union Street Meeting House. So we look forward to sharing the message with you next week. Hope you'll return to this podcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.